be hooked up here. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 68. Verse 18, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive, Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Count Your Blessings. I believe that the greatest gift of all that we have received, the greatest blessing, comes from and as a result of the incarnation, the life, the obedience, the merits, the perfect sacrifice, the shedding of His blood on the cross, the dying, His burial, His resurrection, and the finished work of Jesus Christ as revealed in the gospel has given us the greatest benefit of all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And our text in verse 19 plainly states that the great God of heaven and earth is the source of all blessings and all benefits that we enjoy, not just one day out of the year, but from day to day. He loadeth us with benefits daily, each and every day. You see, God is not stingy. He owns all physical and spiritual wealth, and He's been pleased to share it with His people in a bountiful way. Our text states that God daily loads us with benefits and blessings. And I believe that God even blesses through His goodness and His providence those who were lost and undone, who are yet in their sins, who never offer up even the faintest words of thanksgiving or praise. God still gives them life and breath and all things. How often do we really take the time to count the blessings that God has graciously and bountifully showered upon our unworthy heads? Now, my first point is, and all this is really pretty simple, why should you count your blessings? I think, number one, because we all have a tendency to take things for granted, to be unappreciative, to be ungrateful, and oftentimes without even realizing it. We just go through our day, our week, our month, without really reflecting on how God has daily loaded us with benefits and with blessings. Secondly, because we tend to focus more on our problems, our difficult circumstances, our financial obligations, more than the blessings that God has been pleased to give us. What do we think more about? the blessings or the difficulties. I remember I was in a training seminar one time, and this was so profound. And I think the guy that had the illustration was named Stephen Covey. He wrote the book Seven Habits of Effective Leaders or something like that. Incidentally, his son just ran back a kick. His grandson, all 5'8", 150 pounds of him, he plays for University of Utah, ran back a punt, and it reminded me of Stephen Covey because they said this kid's name. Anyway, sorry that I included that, but that's just a little bit of football trivia. You know, it's easy for us to focus on the problems, the difficulties, the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Anyway, at this seminar, the guy that was conducting the seminar had a black magic marker and a big white board. And he just made a mark in the middle of that whiteboard. He said, "I want everybody to look at this now." He said, "What do you see?" Nearly everybody said, "Well, I see a black dot." And that's the way we often look at things. We don't see all the blessings. We don't see all that white area out there. We want to focus on that one black dot. Now, it may be we have a lot of black dots going on, but in reality, we probably have a lot more good days than bad in our lives. Another reason why we need to reflect and count our blessings is because it's so easy to get caught up in the cares of everyday living that we often fail to remember what great things God has done for us. And then because when we truly begin to meditate on all the blessings that God has blessed us with, it will cause our hearts to be filled with praise and with worship to our wonderful Lord. And that ought to be the aim of our life, to exalt Him, to adore Him, to worship Him, to thank Him, the one who daily loads us with benefits. Turn over to Psalm 116 and you'll see what I'm talking about. Psalm 116 and verse 12, he says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Verse 17, "I will offer unto Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." I look at my life, and I feel so humbled that God's been pleased to just give me grace upon grace upon grace. I remember when I was just a little kid, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. We didn't have any air conditioning. And I remember just laying in my bed all sweaty in the middle of the night. You know, it's a July or August time, in the month of July or August. I lived near Cincinnati in Loveland, Ohio, and really humid. And I remember just laying there kind of sweaty and hot and thinking, "Wow, boy, I'm glad I'm not in Rwanda or in Africa." I mean, can you imagine having temperatures of 120 degrees instead of just 90? And it made me think, boy, I'm thankful. I'm just laying there as a little kid. I started thanking God. I wasn't saved. I just remember I started thanking God. I started thanking Him for the parents He gave me. And you know, those blessings have never stopped when you, and it's true in your life too. If you really just reflect on how blessed you've been. Now, secondly, when should we count our blessings? Well, how often does God give them? He daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. So how about when we wake up in the morning and we start another day? Every morning we wake up and it means that God has preserved us, protected us, that He's blessed us with a measure of rest and sleep for our minds and bodies, that He's given us another day of life and breath. How about just starting off every day by saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it." How about when you're getting ready to go to work? See, I like when I preach a message like this, I want to get right down to where you are. How about when you're getting ready to go to work? Are you complaining that you got to go to work? Or are you saying, "Wow, Lord, thanks for the job"? It means that God has given you the health and the means to be productive and to provide for your family. That is no small blessing. It means that God has given you everything necessary to maintain your employment. Start thanking God for the little blessings that are often neglected. When you get up every day and you're putting your boots on to go to work, thank God that you have the means by which you have the health, the strength, the ability to provide for your family. And then start thanking God for a lot of other blessings that we rarely think of until they're taken away. How about indoor plumbing? Can we all say, "Thank you, Lord, that God has blessed men with an understanding of how to bring water into our homes and even to heat it up"? How about that? Now we got people in the church today that used to haul water. You can talk to Rose Balmer after church is over, and she hauled plenty of water. I remember one time my dad's store, it was right around, it seemed like it was around New Year's. And if you've ever worked in a meat store, which I'm guessing I'm the only one here that has, that's the time of the year you make your money, from Thanksgiving to the first of the year. You're going to work 12, 18-hour days. And, I mean, you're just, everything is going crazy. You're filling orders. You're cutting meat. You're waiting on customers. It's like you're in a beehive, man. And guess what happened? We had busted pipes. That means no water. All right? No water in a meat shop. Do you realize how stinky things can get real quick when you're cutting meat on a day-to-day basis? Well, there was a United Dairy farmer down from us in the parking lot that agreed to let us come and fill up buckets of water. So who was the one that had to haul water? The boss's son. Yeah. I wasn't one of the boss's sons that got a cushy office. I was the one that had to haul water and had to clean up everybody else's messes. Yeah, that's what I got to do. But it made me have a whole new appreciation for indoor plumbing. And the ability to just go to a faucet and turn on hot water. Thank God for that. Do you ever thank God for toothpaste? It's in my notes. I thought about this. I really did. You know, people used to brush their teeth with baking soda. And some people even with charcoal. How about a little Crest? Thank God somebody invented Crest. And I'm not a paid spokesperson for them, but I sure am thankful for toothpaste. Just simple things. Food. Well, I love eating. I'm thankful that He's blessed us with so many things to eat. We ought to be thankful for that. The clothes you wear, a car with gas in it that enables you to get from point A to point B, even if it costs $3.50 a gallon. That's cheap compared to California right now. How about the time of the day, again, talking about your everyday life, that you get to spend with the Lord? That special time that you have set aside for private devotions, where you read your Bible, you study, you meditate, you pray. Whatever amount of time that God allows you each and every day, it ought to be something you cherish, that you give thanks for. And how about the leisure time that you get to spend with your family that God has provided you with, or even when you have to do the chores around the house? I hate doing laundry. All right, let's go back to something. How about thanking God for those clothes you got to wash? Well, I hate washing dishes. Well, how about going back and thanking God that you had food to put on the dishes and people to share it with that dirtied up the dishes? I'm going to tell you something. Tammy dirties a lot of dishes. I love her, but sometimes she'll use a cup for coffee and then use another cup for tea. Well, that's totally, I'm totally against that, man. If I drink out of a coffee cup, that's the cup that I'm going to rinse that cup out. I'm going to use that cup. No offense, honey. But I noticed that. I've used one spoon for the whole day. Just one spoon. Well, I shouldn't have brought that up. Josh has already given me the stare down. But thank God that you have these simple blessings that you often and I often take for granted. And during times of difficulty and hardship, you can still see the hand of God in the valleys and the difficulties. You know, even lost people are blessed when you consider what they deserve and where they should presently be in hell. The point I'm making is that we ought to be counting our blessings every day throughout the day instead of taking them for granted. Now, you know, there are different kinds of blessings. There's physical and material blessings. Everyone in some degree enjoys physical and material blessings because of God's common goodness to all men. Turn over to Psalm 145 in verse 9. Psalm 145 and verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. God's goodness is displayed throughout His entire creation. In the physical realm, the air you breathe, the food you eat, the clothes on your back, the ability to function, to think, to use your senses, to taste, to feel. Those are all physical blessings from God. Your friends, your family, your wife, your children. Look over at Psalm 128. He describes the blessed household. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Take a moment and thank God for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your extended family, your friends. See, if you just think a little bit, you can recognize all of these blessings each and every day consistently. And then, for those who are saved, we have a bounty of spiritual blessings that are worth more than anything. Al Melo just said, Ephesians, turn it. Ephesians chapter 1, he knew where I was going. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. How amazing is it that the God who owns heaven and earth, who rules and governs over all, has sovereignly determined to give you all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He's opened up the treasury of His grace, and He's poured out His blessings upon His elect. Look at this. All spiritual blessings. And it goes all the way back yonder. Before we ever existed, before time, space, or matter ever existed, when God sat alone in the solitude of eternity, just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, dwelling in a holy unity. And He arranged a covenant. Our blessings, these spiritual blessings, go all the way back before the world began. In electing grace. Look at verse 4. And listen, if you're a Baptist and a Bible believer, verses like this ought to cheer your heart. You should rejoice in these spiritual blessings. According as He hath chosen us in Him. We were chosen in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be, not because we were, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, there's a verse over in Psalms. John Bills loves, he listens to this sermon a lot that I preached. He tells me about it. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thine house, even of Thy holy temple. Let's give thanks for God's electing grace. Because if He would not have chosen us, we would have never come to Christ. He has predestinated us to the adoption of children, to one day be conformed to the one He chose us in, Jesus Christ. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Let's praise God for the good pleasure of His will. That He has predetermined before the world began that we would be conformed to the image of His dear Son in time. How glorious is that? How wonderful is that? How glorious is it to be partakers of this adoptive grace, this sonship, and all the privileges that go along with it. Acceptance. Verse 6, these are all spiritual blessings in Christ. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In my natural state, I was entirely unacceptable to God. But in Christ, I'm accepted in the Beloved. How about the redemption that we have? We've been bought with His blood. We're forgiven through His blood, through the riches of His grace, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. Rather, how amazing is it, justifying grace, that Christ on the cross took our sins. They were imputed to Him. They were charged to Him who was sinless. And in exchange, He gives us the very righteousness of God so that we can stand complete and accepted in the Beloved. When I think of all the sins that I've committed, the ones I know about, it amazes me that through the blood of Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven and they're put away. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The revelation of His will. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Him. Unity with the family of God, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's everybody who's ever been saved. That's the family of God. Both which are in heaven and which are in earth, on earth, even in Him. That's the elect of all ages. How about our heavenly inheritance? Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And God is the one who gave us the grace to believe, the faith to believe the gospel. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You can read through the whole chapter. And it's spiritual blessing and grace upon grace upon grace. When you're down, how about just opening up Ephesians 1 and start reflecting on all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I've told you how to count your blessings, but you know, you can personally stop up some of the blessings from flowing. I thought God was sovereign. He is. But look what it says in Jeremiah 5:25. You start getting sin, letting sin have dominion in your life, you're not going to enjoy the blessings of God as you ought to. The Bible says this, Jeremiah 5:25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Sin can cause you to not have fellowship with God. But how can you be blessed? How can blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf fadeth not, or withereth, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 3 is a little dicey. I don't think I got it all completely right. But you get the idea. You want the blessings to come? Be separated from the world. Be saturated with the Word. Be situated near the rivers of waters. Sanctified living. Psalm 119 starts off, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. How about just being faithful in your tithing? Why'd you have to bring that in? We were enjoying the message on thankfulness today, and there you had to go and ruin it. Well, think about what Jesus said, all right? Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, and he's quoting Malachi. Now, the funny thing about Malachi, Al Malo used to think that it was Malachi. He thought there was an Italian prophet. The Italian prophet, Malachi. But he had to be corrected in Bible school. Look here at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Or no, not Malachi 3, Luke. I want you to go to Luke, okay? I said that first, didn't I? Luke 6:38. Let me get there. Yeah, I shouldn't have told that joke. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You be faithful in your tithes and offerings, you're going to find God is going to give you a whole lot more than you could ever give Him. Witnessing, telling others about Christ is a blessing. The practice of righteousness and faithfulness. Faithful man shall abound in blessings. This is not hard to understand. It's not hard to see. But I wonder, are you really counting your blessings? May God help us. Not just one day out of the year, but He daily loads us with benefits. Let's reflect on that and live accordingly. Let's all stand.
Page 243.